Hello and welcome to Chief Among Friends. I'm your host, Dr. Chris Hobson, the Chief Medical Officer of Orion Health. On this podcast, I chat about topics ranging from technology priorities to new innovations in integrated and coordinated care to healthcare sustainability. You can follow the conversation on hashtag Chief Among Friends and be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dr. Chris Hobson. Today, I'm interviewing Andrea Tate, a healthcare executive with 2 decades of experience in both the public and private sector. We will be discussing healthcare sustainability and the role that leveraging existing tools play in transitioning to better, more accessible, connected and patient-centered care. We will discuss some use cases and multi-tenant solutions that can share costs and common integrations across participating health service providers to deliver value-based care. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you, Chris. It's nice to be here.
So first up, can you speak to the value of an integrated care platform?
I can. I think at their heart, integrated care platforms provide a mechanism to activate stranded and centralized health data. It takes the best components of the investments we've already made in electronic health records and other shared systems, also takes the best investments we've already made in point of care systems and disease or clinical process specific solutions, and it makes those investments work together. At its best, an integrated care platform supports hospitals using HISs, home care providers using their systems, primary care physicians using EMRs, and supports patients as they transition between these organizations in a way that's seamless. It's not just as simple as sharing a discharge summary with a home care provider, which is what we traditionally thought about. It's really about an integrated care platform that lets us support a patient leaving a hospital with a wound care pathway that leverages best practice and automatically notifies if that patient doesn't progress along the wound care pathway as we believe they should. Wound care complications alone are estimated to cost the Canadian health system $3.9 billion annually. So this is a focus not on technology. It's about using an underpinning technology to support improved cross-continuum workflows, better outcomes for patient, and better value.
So how does having an integrated health system, how does that contribute to the actual sustainability financially, perhaps, of that health system?
I would argue that it's actually an integrated system is a foundational component of sustainability. I think driving care out of high-cost acute care settings where appropriate and into community and home care and empowering patients and their families are key components of how we fundamentally get to a way to deliver care in a way that's sustainable. The reality is that home care in Ontario costs us about $45 a day. Similar level of care in the hospital costs us about $900 a day. In addition to that, most people would rather be cared for at home with the proper supports. So we give better value to patients and we drive down the costs of delivering that care.
And so the integration between the home care and the hospital, this is a follow-up question really. So the integration, having that integration improves sustainability.
It's one component of sustainability. Then we can do other things. Mm-hmm. We can do emergency department notifications so mm-hmm. that we can potentially avoid an emergency department admittance by putting more supports around patients at home, for example. So just effectively transitioning out of hospital to home care is one thing. Keeping people cared for in their home in a way that's effective is a second pillar.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds as we take the information from the hospital and into the community, this is, some people have called that democratization of the healthcare information. What are some good use cases where democratizing healthcare information actually helps the health system or helps the patient?
There are a lot of use cases. Mm-hmm. Let's spend some time on one with a preventative care scenario that many of us have experience with. So let's talk about when older people fall. It can fundamentally affect their health in the short and long term, as you know, Chris. We all know of an experience with a broken bone as a result of an older person falling. The results can be devastating. Falls in Canada cost $2 billion a year. Mm-hmm. And 20 to 30% of patients over 65 experience an injury causing fall every year. We can use an integrated care platform to identify people at greater risk of fall and put supports around them in the community before they fall. There are cases of this being done across the globe that show as much as a 50% reduction in falls in that population. Not only does that save us, have the potential to save us $1 billion a year in Canada, it also has the potential to make people's lives better and avoid what can be a devastating injury.
So it sounds that you're thinking along the lines of a care plan that's accessible both in the hospital and the community, and everyone's working together can help to prevent some of the things from happening in the community that then prevent that patient ending up in hospital.
I would say absolutely. I mean, hospital, community, primary care, and also accessible by the patients themselves and their families. So that really what you have is everybody potentially involved in all that patient's care, including themselves and their caregivers at home, are involved in planning care, noticing changes, raising alerts, and generally starting to avoid some of the things that we now treat almost exclusively as outcomes.
It's really interesting. So just turning for a minute to technology. So we've got, as we discussed, as you mentioned earlier, there's software in the home and software in the hospital and software in the community. So what technologies, how can we integrate and what underlying technologies can help health organizations leverage what they already have, or do we have to throw everything out and start again?
Now, I think that's a good question, and I sometimes hear the solution, well, if we just put an HIS across everywhere, we can solve this problem. The reality is not that. First of all, rip and replace of all existing technologies is a really expensive proposition, mm-hmm. and most healthcare systems are not funded to do that. The other issue, though, is that systems that have been developed for primary care physicians or home care providers over a period of time are much more well-positioned to fit the way they work. So primary care physicians don't work like emergency department physicians who don't work anything like a wound care nurse in home care. So the systems that they have right now are fundamentally better suited to the work that they already do. What we need to do is put interoperability platforms in place that allow us to bring that data together in a way that doesn't fundamentally ask them to rip their systems out and replace them all. The other thing I would say to you is that interoperability platform needs to allow us to experiment with things. So we need to be able to put in potential solutions to things like falls or medication reconciliation upon discharge to avoid medication errors. Test those things easily based on a platform that's already in place, make the changes we need, and roll it out quickly. It's a fundamentally different approach than the old, more traditional, big bang approach to implementing entirely new systems and doing all of that work. It's leaner, faster, and more responsive to what outcomes we're actually getting.
So certainly organizations would appreciate leaner, faster, cheaper ways to mm-hmm. share information across from the hospital and the community and so on. So if we're going to use a lean, fast approach, what new data types would actually help the management of these kind of expensive patients who are at risk of falling or patients with chronic disease? What new is there new data that might be needed that works across the community?
You know, I would say that certainly in Canada and across the US as well, we've made significant investments in traditional electronic health record kind of technologies. So a lot of the basic data that we think about using is available in some fashion right now. So if you think about lab results or medication records or image in image reports, there is availability of those things. The challenge is to make the data work for us, which is fundamentally different than just piling more data on. You know, I just heard a conversation about what we really need is a national electronic health record. I would fundamentally disagree with that. I would say what we need to do is help clinicians to sort through the preponderance of data that is a part of their jobs now and make decisions about what data they need to act on and then help them to act on that, versus simply throwing more data on a pile. I mean, clinician burnout and health service provider burnout is real. And we need to think about what role does just throwing more data at them play in that, and how do we do this more effectively?
So I certainly heard the comment that the clinician's job is to find the needle in a haystack, and our response is to give them more hay.
Give them more hay. Mm. You know, and I think that is the core fundamental part of Orion Health strategy. It's harvest the lessons learned from around the world. What can we learn from accountable care organizations in the US or CCGs in the UK? And how do we apply that to the forming Ontario health teams, as an example? Where are the really well done medication reconciliation examples spanning the globe, and how do we bring those to Canada? And then underpin that with a flexible, robust, and really cost-effective integrated care platform that isn't asking you to replace any of your core systems, that isn't asking you to just pile a bunch more data on, but is really saying, let me help you to find the most relevant data.
So do you think that some of this is about a level of standardization that may be required, and it's not the standardization we talk about in IT, where we talk about FHIR standards or HL7 or whatever. There's specific data that needs to be standardized.
There's absolutely that, and that is an ongoing discussion. I would say we need to be very careful to not fall into the trap of driving to the perfect and ignoring the good enough. So there are enough standard data types now in medications, in labs, that we have a good starting place. It's not perfect, and there will be gaps in the data. But we know that we have enough data that we've already paid for to centralize that we can start with that. And then we can add data or change standards as that develops. And then relentlessly measure results and refine our approach. And that will include learning lessons about what data is good and what isn't.
But I understand from what you're saying that this is something that's eminently achievable today.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Andrea. That's really fantastic.
Thanks.
If you'd like to join us for future episodes of this podcast, please follow us on #ChiefAmongFriends and on Twitter @DrChrisHobson.